Cinnamon Sky, written by Janet Woods, read by Anne Cater.
About this digital talking book. Navigation of this digital talking book is by chapter at the first navigation level. This digital talking book was produced by Visibility Limited, formerly the Association for the Blind of Western Australia, in Perth, Western Australia. To support the production of this and other digital talking books, please contact Visibility on country code +61, area code 08 9311 8202, or by email library@visibility.com.au.
Chapter 1. Dorset, 1800. The Honourable Alexis Patterson had the chicken's neck pinned down under a broom handle. Its beady eye gazed at her as it gave a doleful cluck or two. "I'm so sorry," she whispered, and closed her eyes as she jerked its body. She thrust the twitching carcass from her and shuddered. "Poor little hen. You've got to stop being so squeamish if we're to survive, Lexi. It hurt you more than it did the hen." "But I always liked that hen. She was so sweet." Picking the bird up, her sister Blythe told her, "We have 5 hungry mouths to feed, so we've got to be practical. Besides, the hen's old and has stopped laying." "We could have caught a fish instead, or you could have shot a rabbit." "Sometimes it takes forever to catch a fish, and we can't eat rabbit all the time." Taking the chicken's carcass to the woodshed, Blythe, who'd turned 17 the day before, seated herself on a log, held the bird by its feet, and began to energetically rip the feathers from the unfortunate victim. She stopped for a moment to gaze up at her elder sister, her blue eyes sparkling. "Oh, do stop looking so tragic over it." Alexis wished she could be as sensible about matters as Blythe, who seemed to fear nothing. Soon, Blythe's feet were surrounded by white feathers, and the air was filled with bits of flying down. "What about the insides?" Alexis muttered. "The cook used to pull them out." Blythe grinned at her. "Don't worry, I'll do it, Lexi. I just hope you know how to cook. Do we have vegetables?" "I sent Esme and Daria to the vegetable garden to see what there is. Celeste is collecting the eggs. I picked some mushrooms this morning, and there's half a cabbage. We can boil it all up together in a pan, I expect." "It was too bad of the cook to leave." Alexis shrugged. "She was owed wages, so you can't blame her. Mr. Huff said there was no money left in the estate to pay staff." "The Earl squandered what he had. Wine, women and debauchery, whatever that is. He said we had to be careful of men like him, and we should find the fortune that our great-grandfathers hid from the revenue men before they were hung, and use it to buy ourselves a decent husband apiece." Alexis frowned. The late Earl was spinning one of his tales. "We've looked everywhere, and there is no treasure. Besides, I don't want to buy a husband. I want one who truly loves me." "The old Earl had a good heart. What would have happened to us if he hadn't taken us in after the accident, I wonder? Do we have any relatives?" "None that I know of. Father inherited debt, and the Earl said he wasn't cut out to be a farmer. The Earl and Papa were the best of friends, I understand. I expect that's why the Earl offered us a home, out of loyalty to that friendship." Alexis fell silent for a moment, wondering what was going to happen to them if it turned out that there did happen to be a damned Welsh heir. She and Blythe might be able to find employment, and perhaps Celeste, but Daria and Esme were much too young. Alexis had been 9 when her parents had been buried under a cliff fall in the cove below the house, along with the son and heir. She'd been helping her 4 younger sisters collect shells at the water's edge, and was the only one who could remember that awful day. Blythe paused in her task, the light in her eyes dusted with sadness. The Earl was such fun, though. I do miss him, don't you? Yes, I do. But you were his favourite. He said you had pluck. He told me it was a pity we weren't boys. Then we'd be able to defend the place against the damned Welsh. That's why he taught us to shoot and ride astride. He expects us to shoot them if they come sniffing around. He said the ghost ship will sneak into the cove one night and carry us girls off if we're not careful. Blythe imitated the gruff voice of the old Earl. Keep a good watch out for them, you girls. There's plenty of ammunition in the folly, and you'll be able to pick them off one by one from the cliff top as they come up the path. Alexis giggled. How can we shoot ghosts when the bullets would go right through them? Mr. Huff said that if there were any living Welsh descendants left, they certainly aren't living in Wales, since he searched every nook and cranny. And why would they want to carry us off? To ruin us, of course. Can you imagine what that would be like? Alexis often wondered what that would feel like, since she sometimes had urges she couldn't explain. Instinct told her they were related to becoming a woman. She blushed. That's why the Earl taught us to shoot, Blythe said, so we don't get ruined. What does ruined actually mean, Lexi? Alexis grimaced. I'm not sure. I think it means that a woman loses her virgin state and has a baby out of wedlock. Everybody shuns her because her reputation is lost. But how does the baby get inside the woman in the first place? Do you remember when we saw those horses and the stallion reared up onto the mare's back? And I asked the Earl what was happening, and he laughed and said the stallion was just enjoying his oats. Blythe stared at her. Well, surely it can't be like that for people. It's too awful. Alexis shrugged. We shouldn't be discussing such matters. It isn't polite. But nobody else is listening, and how else will we find out about things? We shall have to wait and see what happens if we ever marry. But I have no intention of shooting anyone. It's ridiculous to suppose the Welsh even know that the Paterson sisters exist. So why should they be making plans to carry us off? We have to remember that we're not related to the Earl by blood, and this isn't our house. The manor is our family home. If Mr. Huff can't find an heir to Longmoor, the title and estate will revert to the Crown, I believe. But what if he does find a Welsh heir? He might not want us living here. What will become of us then? I don't know. We'll have to go back to the manor and do the best we can. But the floors are full of rot, and part of the roof has collapsed. If Mr. Huff finds a Welsh heir, he might need a wife. As the eldest, you can marry him and we can stay here. He might not want to marry me. Besides, he'll probably be old and already married. Then I'll definitely shoot him, Blythe said fiercely. Then in the next breath, I wonder what a Welsh earl looks like. I saw a drawing of a Welsh farmer in a book. He was big, fierce-eyed and hairy with a bushy beard and with muscular legs from striding over the Welsh mountains, I expect. He carried a lute on his back. All the Welsh sing, I understand. It stops them from feeling lonely when they're in the hills. And he'll like sheep, too. Damned sheep. I didn't realise they were so noisy. Kynan Trent grumbled to himself, swinging his legs out of the bed. He gazed through the window into a dimly lit morning, his waking eyes blearily absorbing the rustic scene of the bleating flock of woolly animals, the dog darting back and forth, and the shepherd with his crook as they passed by. The sky was a blanket of dark grey. Only a trace of pale yellow on the horizon hinted that dawn intended to put in an appearance. Country folk obviously rose at the crack of dawn, he thought, and that suited him today. Were he still in London, he'd have slept for another hour, then exercised his mount in the park, before eating a leisurely breakfast. He stretched as he stood. his muscular naked body relishing the movement after a night spent on an unyielding and lumpy mattress. His knuckles brushed against the inn ceiling as he reached full height. As Kynan wondered if his valet had risen, for he wanted to make an early start on the second leg of his journey, a knock came at the door.
"Are you awake, my lord?"
Kynan grinned. Even his man sounded self-conscious addressing him thus. But they must both get used to it, since he was no longer Mr. Kynan Trent, head of a successful London import and wholesaling company. Recently, he'd been informed that he'd inherited the title of Earl and the Dorset estate of the Earl of Longmoor. He shook his head, still surprised by it. He'd been unaware that the Trent family was related to a peer. "Lack of communication was due to a feud between brothers," the lawyer Richard Huff had told him. "We've traced the lines, and you're the only surviving family member, though we didn't expect to find you living in London." Kynan had raised an eyebrow at that. Although he knew his paternal grandfather's family had originated in Wales, he'd never once set a foot on Welsh soil. "Oh, I know nothing of any feud. Oh, it dates back 200 years or more. It was over a woman. She was about to marry the eldest brother when she was snatched from the altar by your ancestor and carried off to Wales, where he'd inherited some property. The Earl at the time swore that none of his brother's descendants would ever be acknowledged again. Each Earl since has signed a paper to abide by his decision." Kynan had chuckled at that.
"Well, you surely don't expect me to sign it before I inherit the title and estate?"
"Oh, hardly, my lord, since that would be to defeat the object of my visit."
"Then I'm to take it that I'll have the dubious honour of being the first member of my side of the family to set foot on Longmoor Estate in several generations."
"Quite so," the lawyer said in a sympathetic tone, to which Kynan had offered a sharp look.
"Is there something wrong with the place?"
"Unfortunately, the late Earl let the estate run down on account of the feud, since he had no heirs of his own. He wouldn't have wanted a Welsh heir to be handed a going concern, you understand. I will, of course, take care of the legal formalities." Kynan had found it hard to understand that someone would deliberately allow an estate to go to rack and ruin on account of an old quarrel. Not that money was a problem to him. The family business was an ongoing and lucrative concern, and he'd received a healthy legacy recently from the estate of his grandfather. Nevertheless, Kynan now gazed in the direction of the county of Dorset with some trepidation, and the hint of an ironic smile. Of late he'd been bored with life. Although he worked hard, too many pleasures had jaded him. Now life had thrown him a challenge, and he was glad of it. He bade his man enter when the knock came for a second time. James Mitchell was a man of average build. He didn't possess the servile nature expected of servants, an attitude which had lost him several positions in the past. But he wasn't intrusive. He suited Kynan, who found James to be quick-minded and good at his job, as well as being discreet and loyal. With James, Kynan could enjoy conversation on many topics. Kynan also discovered him to be a physical match for fencing. He paid him well for his services. Soon the dark stubble on Kynan's chin was gone, and he was turned out impeccably for the ride. While the stable lads saddled their mounts and their bags were being evenly distributed on the pack horse, the two men ate a hearty breakfast. The serving maid bustled round them, slanting her brown eyes towards James and pressing her bosom against his shoulder as she set in front of them plates of sizzling bacon, eggs and pork sausages. They made short work of it, wiping the grease from their plates with chunks of crusty bread spread with thick yellow butter. In its turn, that was washed down with a mug of sweet tea.
"I hope I made you comfortable, sir,"
the maid said to James, giving him a smile when he slid her some coins. James playfully slapped her ass.
"I'll pay you a visit again the next time I'm passing through Lyndhurst."
Kynan grinned as the woman walked off, her hips twitching from side to side.
"Worth the hire?" "She lacked finesse, but I managed," James said modestly.
The two men rode out into an apricot-tinted dawn, which progressed into a rather cool April day. It was pretty country that they were passing through. Tender green leaves filled with the rising of spring flew like flags from the tree branches, while groups of daffodils clustered in pale and lambent yellows underneath their shade.
"Are birds usually this noisy in London, James?"
Kynan asked. His servant eyed a small blob of white on his thigh with a sigh of displeasure.
"No, my lord, it appears to me that birds are more prolific here, and they appear to defecate more often."
At midday they stopped at the Antelope Hotel in Dorchester for refreshment and to ask directions. The excellent pork pies they ate were served with a tankard of ale. The ostler provided them with the information. He had a girl with him of about 12 years who held the horse's reins and smiled.
"Village of Longmore be 30 minutes or so to the southeast. 20 minutes further than that is Longmore House. You can't miss it. Leastwise, I hope not. Since to do so, you'll find yourself falling over the edge of the cliff and into the sea."
The ostler cackled with laughter at his own joke.
"The village is but a short ride past the old manor. Used to be a thriving place and all. But now 'tis almost abandoned since the estate hadn't been worked for some time. The estate agent used to live in the dower house just outside the village, though 'tis standing empty now. There'll be a couple of people who keeps an eye on the place."
His eyes went to the horses.
"I've given your mounts a good rub down, and though they be weary, I reckon they've got the pace left in 'em if you go nice and easy. 'Tis some fine beasts you have there. Be ashamed to ruin 'em."
Thank you for the advice," Kynan said politely, though not really needing it, as he and James swung themselves up into their saddles. The man's glance wandered from one to the other, an unspoken question in it. They settled on Kynan.
"The old earl passed on a little while back. You're not from these parts. Are you one of those lawyers come down from London who'll be helping Olaf look for an heir to the title?"
James said rather grandly,
"This gentleman is the heir, the Earl of Longmore himself."
The ostler turned to his daughter, saying sharply,
"Get yourself in to help your mother, Millie, and be quick about it. We don't want you noticed by the damn Welsh."
And he spat into the straw.
"The old earl was right worried it had come to this one day."
"Come to what?" To which question the stable hand whipped his cap off to release a thatch of greasy hair, saying deferentially,
"Begging your pardon, my lord, no disrespect was offered."
"None was taken." Kynan bestowed a faintly bemused smile on the man and dropped some coins into his palm before he turned his horse's head towards the coast, with James following after. After a few moments' thought, Kynan threw back his head and laughed.
"Good God! It's that damned stupid feud again! The ostler was worried I might carry off his daughter." "If she'd been older, you'd probably have given him cause to worry,"
James said irreverently. "Nonsense. I'm very nearly a married man."
"You've proposed then, sir?"
"Oh, I haven't got around to it yet, but I imagine I will, once I've decided what to do with my inheritance."
"Mrs. Spencer is an admirable woman, in every way,"
James said, though his words lacked conviction. Julia most certainly was admirable. She was flawless, a graceful grey-eyed beauty with a ready wit, who'd put her widowhood behind her and was generous with her affections towards him. So why was he holding himself back from taking the final step to the altar?
"I value your opinion, James. Be honest. Can you find any fault with Mrs. Spencer?" I've nothing against the lady herself, sir. Just a mistrust of perfection. If I may be so bold, her wit can be a little, sharp and narrowly focused, and may prove incompatible with your own, which seems to find humour in every situation. A small imperfection. As you say, sir.
Kynan's attention was drawn to what appeared to be the manor the ostler had spoken about. It dated back to Tudor times, would have been quite beautiful once, and still could be if the garden was rescued from the weeds and the hole in the roof was repaired. What a shame that it had been left to go to rack and ruin. He had a sudden thought that Longmoor Hall might have suffered the same fate, since the fields about them were overgrown with tall grass, instead of the healthy young crops displayed elsewhere in the county. Anger filled him, because what seemed to have once been a thriving business had been allowed to run down for the sake of a stupid feud. But obviously, old grudges died hard in these parts. Behind a low stone wall, the former agent's house stood in a verdant garden, carpeted with daffodils. The house was undoubtedly old, but of decent size and design, and built of mellow stone. It was roofed in slate. They stopped and, finding the back door unlocked, went inside to inspect the place. Dust lay thickly over everything, but the house smelt dry, and the furniture was solid.
"A pretty place. I wouldn't mind living here myself," Kynan murmured.
Longmoor village itself was a straggle of thatched cob cottages either side of a wide street. A picturesque church with a square Norman tower and an overgrown graveyard was half hidden by beech trees and a low stone wall. The place seemed to be almost uninhabited, though Kynan could almost feel eyes watching them from behind the windows. An old couple sat in the afternoon sun. A couple of children came running out of nowhere to take a look at them, and a black cat slunk off into the shadows at their approach. Running down the estate would have put the villagers out of work. Where had they gone? Could he, a businessman with no knowledge of farming, put the Longmoor estate back on a sound, productive footing? Much depended on the state of the house, of course. Kynan was not prepared to invest money into the estate if he couldn't count on it being returned if he sold the place. His mind began to tick over, making a list of what he knew would be needed. He could live here while it was going on, he thought. He had a perfectly reliable manager in London to run the business there. As they moved further towards the coast, the land took on a slight downward incline. The breeze became stronger and carried with it the smell of salt. Beyond a strand of trees, they drew their horses to a halt and took in the breathtaking view.
That must be Longmoor Hall.
Built of stone, which had weathered to a dull grey, and surrounded on three sides by a thicket of trees, it left itself open to the view over the sea. The house seemed to be a solid and comfortable nest. Behind the building they caught a glimpse of a stable block, a decent-sized house that was probably intended for the agent he didn't have, and some walled gardens. To the left and behind the trees, barns and outbuildings stood. Perched near the cliff edge was a charming folly with castellated walls. Kynan imagined it might have been built by a knight for a lady to sit and dream in on a summer afternoon. He smiled at the thought. Accompanied by the sound of laughter, a dappled plough horse came out of a field, with two girls seated astride its back. They were blue-eyed charmers of about 11 years, with light brown hair curling around their shoulders and bare legs and feet. They offered him merry smiles as the horse plodded past.
"I'm Daria Patterson, and she's Esme Patterson. Who are you? Are you coming to visit us?"
"I'm the new owner of Longmoor."
"Oh, it's the damned Welsh heir!"
The one calling herself Daria whispered urgently.
"Hold tight, Ez. We'd better tell Alexis and Bly so they can be prepared."
She dug her heels into the horse's side and the beast picked up speed.
the two girls clinging to its back as it lolloped in ungainly fashion towards the house. Kynan raised an eyebrow, wondering how they were managing to stay on its back, and James grinned.
"At least there will be someone to greet you. Alexis must be the housekeeper."
His own horse was too tired to do anything but walk. Dismounting, Kynan urged James to do the same, and they ambled down towards the house, leading their horses, enjoying the change after such a long ride.
"Those girls are too young to be maids. They must belong to one of the servants. At least there'll be a reception committee."
But when they got to the house, there was no sign of anyone. The front door was wide open. An old dog wandered out to bark crustily at them, but more in duty than with intent, since its tail flapped lazily back and forth.
"The damned Welsh heir is on his way," somebody said in a startled voice from an open window above them. "Oh, my goodness! Where is he?"
There came a scuffle and a head was poked out of the window to stare in the direction of the sea.
"I can't see a ship. I can't see anyone."
"Look down here,"
Kynan said dryly. A pair of blue eyes in a perfect oval face framed by dark hair lowered to gaze straight into his. They widened.
"We were expecting you to come by sea. Are you really the Welsh heir? We thought you'd be older."
He thought it judicious not to declare himself right at that moment.
"Actually, I'm from London, and my name is Kynan. My companion is James Mitchell, who is my manservant."
He smiled at this vision peering at him out of the upper reaches of the house. Her delicious mouth curved into a returning smile, one which quickly faded as she looked beyond him and shouted urgently,
"No! Don't, Blythe!"
Turning, Kynan found himself peering down the barrel of a pistol.
"Stand very still,"
the girl holding it said.
"State your business."
"His name is Mr. Kynan,"
the one at the window said.
"Do put that down, Blythe. You can't go around shooting people, whatever the old earl said."
"But the girls told me he was the damned Welsh heir, Lexi."
"They must have been mistaken. But even if he was, he'd have a perfect right to be here, since this is his home."
Kynan blessed her good sense.
"Have you shot many people?"
he said in a friendly manner to the other one, wishing she'd point the weapon in another direction.
"Not yet. You'd be my first."
The girl called Blythe resembled the one at the upper window, except her hair was a lighter colour, and she hadn't quite developed into a woman.
"I'm saving my first kill for the damned Welsh heir."
From the upstairs came the sound of a muttered prayer, which wasn't very encouraging.
"Dear God, save this poor sinner from Blythe."
Behind him, James was nearly choking with repressed laughter. Kynan felt like laughing himself, and would have, if the delicate hand holding the pistol hadn't been rock steady and the trigger finger primed with just the right amount of tension. He'd have to divert the attention of this lunatic female, and fast. He found his voice, loaded it with charm.
"I'm sure the damned Welsh heir is more worthy of your attention. Are you a good shot, my dear?"
Blythe smiled.
"The late Earl himself taught me. He said I was better than anyone he'd ever known. You see that post over there?"
The wood splintered as she took aim and discharged the weapon.
"Thank you, God,"
came the soft voice from upstairs. Anger flooded through him, and he hurled a dark look up at the one called Lexi.
"I want all the members of this household to assemble in the drawing room in half an hour. I've something to say to you."
Her eyes widened, and she uttered a soft,
"Oh?"
"You with the pistol. Hand that gun to my manservant at once. If you ever threaten me with it again, you'll be handed over to the authorities, I promise you."
Relief surged through him when she did as she was told, but her bottom lip began to tremble, and her eyes flooded with tears as her bravado collapsed. Without her weapon, she was only a vulnerable young girl. He liked her better that way. He handed her his handkerchief to dry her tears on, then bent to pat the dog as he moved towards the steps leading up to the main door. A low growl rumbled from the animal's throat. He swiftly removed his hand, despite his intuition telling him the dog was more menace than might. Laughter floated down to him, but when he looked up, Alexis was no longer there. A little while later they were lined up in front of him, five females with similar looks, ranging in age. Five pairs of eyes in various shades of blue gazed at him with frank curiosity. "Let me introduce myself," he said. "I am the new owner of Longmore." The looks they exchanged were varied.
"He is the damned Welsh heir,"
the middle one whispered almost to herself, her voice trembling with fright.
"What will become of us?"
"This is my estate. You may address me as Lord Trent or my lord. You may not address me or refer to me as the Welsh heir, the damned Welsh heir, or any other insulting variation you might think of. In fact, if anyone mentions Welsh to me again, I'll send you to Wales on the next damn boat. Understood?" The middle girl, who was about 14, gave a nervous hiccup, then burst into tears. Blythe handed his handkerchief over to the weeping child for a second soaking. "You don't have to bully us." "I'm sorry." Why was he apologising? This was his house, and these young women were employed by him. He was used to an ordered life and didn't have to apologise. They did. His glance went to the oldest one. Her smile told him she was enjoying his discomfort. "Perhaps you'd like to explain to Miss Blythe that it was she who was bullying me earlier. After that, perhaps you'd care to enlighten me to the reason behind the extraordinary behaviour and rudeness I've been forced to endure since my arrival." She spread her hands. "It's all to do with the feud, you see. My sisters were expecting you to arrive from the sea, if you arrived at all. The old earl has filled their heads with nonsense about," she quacked an eyebrow, "the unmentionable branch of his family. I do hope you will forgive us." The little touch of irony was unexpected, but it was said so prettily that Kynan felt his insides melt. This girl was a force to be reckoned with.
"I imagine I'll stretch a point on this occasion. Where's the rest of the staff?"
"There is no staff. We, that is my sisters and I, live here as guests of the Earl, of the late Earl." Matters were becoming clearer to him now.
"You had better introduce yourselves and explain your circumstances to me."
"I'm Alexis Patterson. These are my sisters. The Honourable..."
"I'll take the Honourable part for granted."
She smiled graciously at him. "Thank you, my lord. It is rather a mouthful. Blythe? Celeste?"
"I look after the chickens and collect the eggs,"
Celeste interrupted, her eyes only slightly damp now, so his guilt over the accusation of bullying her lessened. "Daria and Esme are the youngest. They're a year apart in age." Alexis smiled when the pair made a graceful curtsy and said,
"Welcome to Longmore Hall, my lord."
All rehearsed to appease him, no doubt, since the Honourable Miss Patterson bestowed an affectionate and approving smile on them. She was all set to disarm him, but he wasn't about to allow himself to be handled.
"Why are you all living here in my home, Miss Patterson?"
Imperceptibly, her eyes narrowed. "The late Earl took us in when our parents died. We have nowhere else to go except the manor, which is in a dangerous condition."
"It can be repaired?"
"Financially, we're not in the position to undertake those repairs." Daria piped up.
"Unless we find the fortune our families hid from the revenue men. Ouch!"
Esme had kicked her on the ankle. Blythe was sniffing the air like a hound.
"What on earth are you doing?" Alexis said to her. "I can smell burning."
The girls looked at each other in consternation. Then Alexis said, "The chicken!" They scattered, heading off at a run. Kynan turned to James. "What do you think?" James chuckled. "A spirited but delightful pack of females. If I were you, I'd beware, sir." "I am bewaring, but I feel as though I've walked into a lunatic asylum. I didn't expect to inherit 5 female guests. Huff should have warned me." "Did I handle the situation adequately?"
"You could say that, since you're still alive and kicking, my lord."
"So I am," Kynan said darkly. "What on earth am I going to do with a pack of honourable young ladies, especially when 2 of them are old enough to be wed?" James grinned. "Definitely not," Kynan said. "Seduction is not on my agenda. They are to be treated with the utmost respect. Understand?"
"Yes, my lord."
The dog thrust its snout into Kynan's hand and huffed a steamy and sympathetic breath into it. He automatically fondled it and was snarled at.
"Be quiet. I'm in charge round here,"
he snarled back. And to his surprise, the animal stopped growling at once.